A very warm welcome to you all and to our service of public worship here at Newport on Tay Church of Scotland. We want to welcome especially those who are worshiping with us for the first time or are doing so after a long while. We know that there are people worshiping with us from neighboring congregations and from further afield. So welcome to this service of worship on the sixth Sunday after Easter. Can I now ask all of us to welcome one another with the greeting of peace. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. A few intimations. The service next week is Pentecost service, and the Church of Scotland will be streamlining a service on their website and also on the Facebook page from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. In addition to that, the Reverend Dr. Jim Connolly is putting together a kind of cluster service with contributions from the ministers and elders from different congregations. So we are not going to have a service on our own next week. Please sign in and follow the service on the Church of Scotland website. And also we will put up something on our website which has been put together by Jim Connolly. After the service, please, would you stay, if you are able, for tea and coffee at your various places, and we can have time again to chat away with one another. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first theme, immortal, invisible God, only wise. Jesus Christ, you have promised to be with us forever. Teach us to rejoice in your presence. Free us from all anxiety. Help us to know you are always at hand, that we may walk with you and to your glory. God, our Heavenly Father, your blessed Son, our great High Priest, has entered once and for all into the holy place and lives forever to intercede for us. Help us who are sanctified by the offering of his body, that we may walk with faith on the way which he has prepared for us, and serve you always, the living God. God our Father, merciful and of great goodness, we confess to you with our whole heart our neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, our wrongdoing, wrong speaking, and wrong thinking, the hurts we have done to others and the good we have left undone. We pray you, O merciful Father, to forgive us our sins and to accept us anew and continue to use us for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the word of grace. Here are words you may trust, words that merit full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To all who confess their sins and resolve to lead a new life, he says, Your sins are forgiven. And he also says, Follow me. We will now have updates from the Sunday Club.
Hi everyone, it's Catherine here. I'm talking on behalf of the Sunday Club. We're going to have a little presentation from the children, and I'm going to do a voiceover just to tell you what we've been doing. So, Sunday Club's been meeting for the last 5 weeks. The first was a social, and some of the children did drawings about Sunday Club. We then had guest storytellers who've been coming in the last 4 weeks talking about Bible stories that have a theme of being locked in some way and being rescued by God. Now, I'm hoping that from the children's drawings, you can guess the stories that we've been told. So we meet at 9:45 each Sunday, and the children share greetings and news just as they would in a normal Sunday club. We then have our guest storyteller. We then have birthday blessings. And we've had 3 birthdays so far during lockdown. The children then share their drawings with each other and discuss what the attributes they've put into their drawings. And that's then followed by a quiz about that morning's story. And finally, we have a prayer. And I hope you've been able to see that the children have heard the stories of Noah, of Jonah and the whale, Daniel in the lion's den, and today they had a story about Gideon. So thank you very much for just taking the time to listen. If there's anyone who would like to become involved as a guest storyteller, just leave a note on the church website. And equally well, if there are children that you know of who would enjoy coming to Sunday Club and sharing the Sunday morning with us, again, leave details on the church website and we can arrange the appropriate consent forms. So thank you very much. Let us sing together as the deer pants for the water.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul. Thee.
Today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 9. The Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Our second reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, reading verses 12 to 26. Matthias chosen to replace Judas. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath's day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. It is written in the book of Psalms, "May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership." Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Amen. And may God add his blessings on these readings from his holy word.
Our next hymn this morning is "Holy Spirit, Hear Us."
Father and lover of people, kindle in our hearts the pure light of your divine knowledge and open our minds to the understanding of your gospel, and grant that having learned your blessed will, we may continue in your obedience unto our life's end to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I would like us to reflect on what I have called waiting on the promises of God. Last Thursday was Ascension, the day Christian people believe Jesus Christ went up to heaven, body and soul, under the watchful eyes of his disciples. Luke records the story in both of his books. In Luke chapter 24 and in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, and he relates how Jesus led his 11 disciples to Bethany, a village on the Mount of Olives, where he instructed them to remain in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. One of the great lessons that Jesus taught his disciples before his departure was that of waiting. In Acts 1, verse 6, when the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, Will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus Christ said to them, the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. In other words, what you are asking for is possible, but you must wait upon the Lord, because the time of its fulfillment can only be engineered by the authority of God, a God who keeps his promises. And then he gave them that important promise. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That was the promise, but the disciples had to wait, or needed to wait, for its fulfillment. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout Scripture, God makes promises to his people. But we are expected to wait for the promises to be fulfilled. For example, from the time God first called Abraham in Haran to when his first son of promise, Isaac, was born, nearly 3 decades went by. Abraham left Haran for the promised land when he was 75 years old, full of faith and zeal of a new recruit into God's kingdom. God had made that promise to him, the promise of a child. But his wife, Sarah, and himself needed to wait for its fulfillment. And of course, we know that story very well. They became impatient, and Sarah asked Abraham to have a child with her maid, Hagar, the result of which was the birth of Ishmael. I don't really know anyone who likes to wait. We always want quick fixes and fast results. We don't like waiting. Waiting is hard. It's hard work, and at times can even test our faith. It is especially difficult when there are no guarantees that our waiting will ever end in this lifetime. Desires we long for, prayers we've been praying, and news we are waiting to hear can tempt us to be impatient, to be discouraged, to worry, and even to wonder if God really cares. Our New Testament passage from the Acts of the Apostles has several themes, including the replacement of Judas Iscariot with Matthias, the reasons why that had to be done, and the whole process that led to it. But it also has the theme of waiting, and that is the subject I want to speak on this morning, relating to Jesus' command to his disciples to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus Christ was taken up to heaven, he gave his disciples instructions to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. So we are told the apostles now returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives and awaited the fulfillment of the promise. They believed in the promise of their master, and they obeyed his instructions. And on Pentecost Sunday, they received. Can we notice that this was the company of disciples which will receive the Holy Spirit in 10 days' time and be empowered to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth? It would be the biggest spiritual bombshell ever detonated on earth, and that will change the course of history forever. But while these people were waiting for the coming of the Spirit and Comforter, they did not idle around aimlessly. No, they exhibited certain characteristics which I think are helpful for us to learn, because they can help us to appropriately position ourselves when we are waiting on God. Let us look at them together. And the first is that it was a persevering company. The word translated joint or a group constantly means to be busy or persistent in all activity. The disciples entered the city and went up to the room where they were staying. In his gospel, Luke says, they stayed continually at the temple praising God. They did not know how long they would have to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend on them, but they were determined to wait for as long as it took the Lord to fulfill his promise and to send the Holy Spirit. Nothing could discourage them now. And you know why? Because Jesus Christ was alive. They had seen him ascend to heaven and knew that he was above with the Father. He had promised power, and he had asked them to wait. But did they know their Bible well enough to know that what they waited for would come on the day of Pentecost? It was well written in their scriptures. For example, in Ezekiel 36:26-27, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So they knew about the Holy Spirit. In any case, they were a persevering company. The fact that days were passing and nothing was happening did not disappoint them. No souls were being saved. No outreach of any kind was being made, because they were incapable of effective witness without the power of the Spirit. So they did what they were told to do. They waited day after day. And then secondly, it was a praying company. They continued in prayer and supplication. And this prayer meeting lasted just 10 days, but they would have waited for 10 months or even 10 years or more. And they needed to pray in preparation for the big event, lest they be caught off guard with unnecessary distractions from the world or from the evil one, because a mind that is not in prayer often wavers in thoughts. So what did they pray? One thing that evidently concerned them was the gap in their ranks, because by the suicide of Judas, they had to replace him. No doubt they prayed for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They prayed that they might be receptive of him, not grieve or quench him, but they prayed too that they might find a fitting replacement for Judas Iscariot, who had killed himself because of guilt. But I am sure they would have also offered supplications for others, probably for their unsaved relatives, for the leaders of their people. They prayed for the poor, for blind Israel that had refused to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So they prayed. And then finally, it was a united company. According to Luke, these people who met to pray were a group numbering about 120. And the reference to a united company might mean that the disciples met in the same place or were doing the same thing, namely praying. But it latter describes both united prayer and a united decision, so that the togetherness implied what they were praying for. They pray with one mind or purpose or impulse. They gathered frequently as a group to pray. They were one. They would look at each other with shining eyes in total harmony of purpose. There was not a dissenting voice, not a murmur of complaint or arguing amongst themselves. No, they were of one accord, united, purposefully waiting for the next move of God in their lives and in the life of their community. My dear Christian friends, there can be little doubt that the ground of this unity and perseverance in prayer was the command and promise of Jesus Christ. He had promised to send the Holy Spirit soon. He had commanded them to wait for him to come and then to begin their witness. We learn, therefore, that God's promises do not render prayer superfluous. On the contrary, it is only his promises which give us the warrant to pray and the confidence that he will hear and that he will answer. Is there something you believe God has promised in your life and you are waiting for that promise to be fulfilled? It may be physical health. You are not well enough, and scripture tells you that God will heal all our diseases. And so you need that individual healing from God. Or maybe it's the current COVID-19 pandemic that is reordering our lives in many different ways, and we are waiting on God to heal our land. Or maybe you have been praying for greater courage to do the will of God in your life and in the community. But let me ask you another question. Are you persevering in your prayer? And are we united of one mind as we pray? I know that the days are passing and there seem to be no solution to our individual or collective problems. But we need to be hopeful, because with God, delayance is not denial. So let me ask you again as I finish, are you praying for something? Are your prayers in line with God's will? Are you praying for the same things God desires? Are you praying perseveringly? And if this is prayer for some common good in your family or your community or your church or country, are you of one mind as we pray? Let us look to the example of those in the upper room and see a larger group in unity praying consistently. And next week, we will see just how powerfully God answers effectual and fervent prayers. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for Jesus Christ, whom you sent into the world to suffer and to die for our sins. We thank you for his ascension. And we know that he is by your side interceding for us. We thank you especially for that great promise of the Comforter. Father, as we wait in expectation, we ask, O merciful Father, that you would grant us the spirit of perseverance, of unity, and of faithfulness in our prayer. We confess for times, O Father, when we have not persevered or been patient as we wait on you for our own individual needs. Grant us patience in our prayer and fulfill the promises which you have made in our lives. through the merits of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. When We Walk with the Lord is our next hymn.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. And we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all
prayers of dedication firstly. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You that You are a God who gives to us and goes on giving day after day after day. A God who shared our humanity so that we might share Your eternity. Forgive us when we find it so hard to give even a little in return, carefully and sometimes grudgingly measuring out our response, giving what we can afford rather than what You deserve, putting ourselves first and You second. Thank You that despite this, You still care for us and love us. For that amazing truth, we praise You. Father, take all that we are, all that we have, and use us for your purposes. Amen. Before we come to our prayers for others and for ourselves, might I remind or indeed tell everyone of the national call to prayer this evening. The leaders of every main grouping of churches throughout the whole of Scotland commend the use of this prayer. It's on the Church of Scotland website and you can find it there and elsewhere. As we come to this prayer, I have a response for those that are comfortable with it. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, the response is, hear our prayer. Let us join together once again in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we pray for a renewed sense of our being one in Christ and for a deeper sense of our belonging together and to each other. For a new joy in being the people of God and a fresh delight in each other's fellowship. May our life together bring glory to God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new desire, a desire to help, to care for and to support each other, a new readiness to give encouragement and thanks for all that we receive through our fellowship in Christ, for a new joy in accepting and affirming even those with whom we disagree. May our fellowship in Christ bring hope to our neighbour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new acceptance of each other's worship and for a new openness to share with each other's praise, for a new willingness to listen to each other's witness to the truth, for a new ability to break out of our own prejudiced positions, to break down all the walls that divide. May the love of Christ bind us together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new sharing of each other's pains and sorrows, a new listening to each other's doubts and fears, a new desire to accept and affirm every member, a new welcome for all who feel that they are strangers. We ask to be set free from any sense of self-righteousness and from anything that might hinder the declaration of the good news. May the power of the Holy Spirit make us new. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that can live with diversity and with all the tensions caused by those we think are different. For a church that can welcome all those with different hopes and fears, different visions and dreams, different words and ways, different songs and prayers. We ask for God's grace to blend them into one body in Christ. May our oneness in Christ bring glory to God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that will not be afraid to stand for the truth, and for a church that will always be seeking new words and new ways of making the gospel known. Never settles for second best, that is always committed to declaring the love and forgiveness of a new life in Christ. May the joy of Christ flood into every part of our life together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that's concerned for those who are lonely and rejected, and reaches out to those who are bitter and lost, for those whose lives are filled with sadness and sorrow, and for those who feel defeated and of no value, for a church concerned with the hungry and starving, and the needs of a nation that faces great problems and yet has forgotten to trust God. May the power of the Spirit give us wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that declares the good news for the poor in body, mind and spirit, for a church that gives high priority to prayer and outreach, to mission and service, to the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, but a church that declares Christ as King, that places him and his kingdom at the heart of all that it says and does. May the Spirit set us free for Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and our longing to be open to the work of the Spirit and to allow him to change all that we see and all that we do in Christ's name. We ask for freedom and joy in our witness and a deeper experience of being one in Christ, for a peace and a courage and a hope that leads others to a knowledge of Christ as Lord, and for heart and a commitment to face all the changes of a church post-COVID-19. May the Holy Spirit use us in ways we never expected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These prayers we ask in the strong but gentle name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Take me, let me.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.